at a local church that was a few miles from our house, so she started going. She'd come in there all excited about her Awanas, and she was in a night Awanas class they had there, and she had to learn a verse, and it really done something to me. It sparked my interest, like, immediately. And then she's like, "Dad, I need you to help me learn this verse." "Okay." "So I can get a badge." I was like, "Okay." Well, flash forward, we started about a week later, me and my family started going to church there, and me and her got baptized. I rededicated my life to God. That it was April the 5th of 2020. Me and her got baptized on the same Sunday during COVID. And I ain't gonna lie to you, it was really satisfying. I felt at peace with God, because there's two kinds of pieces. There's the peace of God and the peace with God. I felt like I had them both, but I kept feeling the Lord on my heart. It's like, you know, I called you to be a preacher, and I was like, well, that's my carnal way of thinking in my mind. I was thinking, there's no way I can afford $20,000 a year to go to school. There's just no way. You know, I said, well, I'll just become a deacon or something at the local church, and I got nominated like three times, but that didn't come to fruition. And, you know, God finally just said, Billy, you were called to be a preacher. And I was watching this preacher preach a sermon on hell. And I was going to work one morning. It was, April the 11th of 2022. And this guy was preaching. I mean, he was preaching hard and preaching facts. I mean, and it ended up with me in tears, you know, because, you know, we come to church and we, some churches will preach, you know, not really hard on, you know, on hell or heaven too much. You know, they'll preach on heaven a good bit more, but they won't ever talk about what people that are lost will go. And it bothered me so much that I ended up in tears. I sat out in my truck for like 30 minutes before I even went to work. And I just wound up praying. I said, God, I was like, the next 20 to 30 years or however long you give me, I will do your will. I will tell as many people as I can about Jesus. And I will try to live the best life that I can to be a good example of Christ. And about a week later, I found this school. And I've been going here for 2 years at Slidell Baptist. And I think the first time I ever heard Dr. Paul preach a lecture, I was like, yeah, this is God. I know that I was in the right place. And the title of the sermon that I picked here from an outline, You Must Be Born Again. And we're going to open our Bibles to John chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 7. I'll give you all a second to turn there. And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And he came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Okay. So we got Nicodemus here, who's a Pharisee, and they're religious to their fingertips. And what I take is interesting here is he calls him a good teacher. Now, there are a lot of religions out there that will call Jesus a prophet or teacher or whatever. But Nicodemus here, this just kind of stuck with me when I was studying this. He called him a good teacher. You know, and Jesus fixed to reveal to him that he's God here. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So, okay, so let's just keep in mind Nicodemus here. He's not spiritually minded. He can't perceive what Christ is trying to tell him, mm-hmm. that we must be born again. And if you're not even born again, you'll never even see the kingdom of heaven. So Nicodemus, with his carnal mind, he's like, Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the womb for a second time and be born? So Nicodemus is here. He's thinking of something physical here. He's thinking about a physical rebirth of the flesh. When Jesus is fixing to tell him that you have to be born of the Spirit. We're going to look at that here in verse 5. Jesus said, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Okay. Now a lot of people, and we'll take this verse, And they will say, well, there's water baptism. Okay. No. If you think about it, Jesus is tying this to a physical and a spiritual thing here together at the same time. You think when we have a child here, it's born in water. Okay. So we're born in the water, and the water is an inward cleansing. So when a person gets saved and born again, we can't do anything physically for that. There's no good works that'll cover that. But we're born of the Spirit. You get a recreated spirit, and that happens at the very moment of salvation. And he said, that which is born in flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Okay, the flesh, let's keep in mind here, when Jesus is talking about the flesh here, there is no plan that God has for this flesh. You know, we have to be born again of the Spirit. You know, this flesh is going to die. One day, this flesh will be resurrected and in the coming of the Lord, and we'll have a glorified body, and that'll be perfect. But until then, this flesh can get us into some trouble, can get us into some sin. God has no plans for the flesh. He wants you to be born again from the inside out. And he said, marvel not, I say unto thee, you must be born again. So let's look at a few points here I got on this sermon. Point number one, what will not save you? Okay. Your denomination. So regardless of what denomination you are, I've asked people before, are you a Christian? And sometimes I get some various responses. Some people will say, I'm Baptist, I'm Catholic, or Methodist, or whatever. And, well, I think it's good to go to a church, especially if it's a Bible-believing church, and have be fellowship with others and come to church and, you know, edify your pastor and build one another up. You know, your denomination will not save you. Our people will say their church membership. Okay. You only can have one membership. Now, either you're a member of the kingdom of God or you're not. So that's the only church membership that, you know, that applies to us, because we're all adopted into the body of Christ when we get saved. But people will think, well, I went to this church for 20 years. Well, if you went to a church for 20 years and you never opened your heart to Jesus and made him Lord of your life, then you've went to church for 20 years for nothing, because you haven't absorbed the word of God. And I'm pretty sure that if they're preaching the word of God, that, you know, the Bible also warns us to not harden our hearts. So when we hear God's word, if you hear the word of God, and at the end of a service they give an invocation, and, you know, when your heart's beating real hard and you're thinking, you know, man, should I go or not? You know, it's best to go. Because what will happen is your heart over time will get a little bit harder and a little bit harder, and you won't even be able to hear the word of God when he's ministering to you. You'll think, well, oh boy, I got away this time. There'll always be a ship for you to get away. And I'll tell people this, it's like if you hear God's word and you know you're not saved, you respond to him right now. Do not let the devil sit in your lap and keep you from Jesus, because he sure will. Water baptism will not save us. Now, we were talking about being washed here. God washes us from the inside, but we're washed in the blood of Jesus. It's because of his sacrifice, we're justified by faith. And we can also remember that the Apostle Paul, he took a tremendous beating and a lot of punishment to preserve this teachings for us and the word of God, because, you know, the Jews, you know, they eventually killed Paul, but they wanted him not to preach this justification by faith, because the Jews were still trying to keep the law, and nobody could keep the law. You know, Jesus come and he kept the law for us, and then he offered himself as a sacrifice so we could be saved through him. The Lord's Supper won't save us. Your good works won't save you. Now, once a person gets saved, we should go to work for the Lord. Now, God commands us to go to work, because, you know, there's people that need us, and there's people that everybody in here, I'm sure, comes across in the course of a week that don't have Jesus. So, you know, we want to shine our light. You know, and the devil sometimes, he'll want us to put our hand over our light. And I remember, it's been about a year or two ago, when I first started telling people where I worked that I'm going to be a preacher, people would start looking at me like I was funny. And then people would start coming to me and asking for all kind of spiritual advice for me to pray with them. And if somebody comes to me, no matter what I'm doing, and says, Billy, can you pray for me? Just be prepared. Because I will put down whatever I'm doing, and I'll pray for you right then and there. You know, and I really think that, and a lot, and I've gotten crazy looks. People be like, why are you going to pray for me right now? I mean, later when you're at home. It's like, if you want me to pray for you, I'm going to pray for you now. You know, today is the day of salvation. And if you need something from the Lord, it's better to go ahead and tell him. He knows everything about us anyway. So there's nothing that that we're keeping hidden from him. And we're not going to surprise God, because God's all-knowing. Turning over a new leaf, and this is another thing that won't save us, you know, because it's good to turn over a new leaf to quit some bad habits. You know, and when a person gets saved, I've heard this from people in churches. They'll try to bring up something that somebody used to do, and I'll be like, no, don't do that. Don't ever talk about anybody's past. Every one of us have a past. If once a person gets saved and the Holy Spirit indwells that person, God will work whatever in them that he doesn't want. He'll work it out. He'll weed it out. Okay, we're going to look at point number two. What will not happen if you get saved? Okay, and I just talked about this. You will not become sinless. So, now we can strive. I strive not to sin, because there's a difference between us and the world. I don't want to sin, because I don't want to offend a holy God. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. The world and a worldly man or woman don't want to sin, such as stealing something or doing something they're not supposed to, because they don't want to get caught, and they don't want to have to pay for what they did. And for being a Christian, we don't want to sin because we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, because God will have to work on us instead of using us to work on others. Here's another one, misconception. You will not get a license to sin once you get saved. Now, trying to figure out a good way to explain this. I've heard people say, well, my sins are forgiven, so I can really do what I want if I really wanted to. I'm like, no, that's reckless. Paul said in Romans 6:1, you know, God forbid shall we abound in sin just because we have grace. And just because my Father has paid my way and taken care of me doesn't mean that I should abuse him and abuse his grace. You know, because we want grace to abound. We want people to see grace through us, you know, and we want to be good examples of Christ. It wouldn't look right if I'm in here preaching and then tomorrow night I'm in a, you know, just use for an example, like a bar or something like that. That wouldn't look right on me being a preacher. People would look at that and they would probably take whatever I said with a grain of salt, you know. Constant sinning brings chastising. We're going to look at Hebrews 12, 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation that speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastising of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. This has got to do with a Christian that's, you know, and we all can commit, you know, a single act of sin certain times. This is more or less referring to like a lifestyle of sin, something that's living in direct opposition to God. You know, what kind of parent would I be if I let my children just run wild and do stuff that would be destructive, you know, and not correct them? That would be bad parenting. And, you know, the Lord will rebuke us, and when he does, just remember, he still loves us, and he rebukes us because he loves us. You know, he wants us to, for a better phrase, he wants us just to, you know, to act right. He wants to straighten us up, because, you know, if that line is straight to the door there, sometimes we can wobble, you know, left or right, especially if we're not you know, seeking the Lord constantly. And I've learned through my fellowship with the Lord that the closer that I stay with Jesus, temptation is weaker. Right. Now, there'll be times that I don't feel like praying or whatever, and I think that's the time to pray the most, to be honest with you. Because the devil, he'll try to fill our... I think the one of the main things that the devil tries to do to us, Satan, he tries to distract us with our time. If I can just keep them busy over here all the time or over there, they won't focus on the Lord. And the Lord's got work for us to do. And the Lord wants to use us. So when we get rebuked of the Lord, you know, what we just need to do is, you know, just say, yes, Lord. I've always told people that when we sin, it's always best to just run to God with it and get it under the blood of the Lamb right then and there. Because what a happen is, and I'm speaking from experience here, when we sin, we feel ashamed. We know we missed the mark with God, and we just want to turn our back, kind of like Adam did. I would say not kind of, just like Adam did. We just want to kind of, you know, turn our back to the Lord because, you know, we're not in right fellowship with him because of something we did. So the best thing we can do is to get it under the blood of the Lamb. You will not always feel spiritual when you get saved. You will not always feel like going to church. Now, it will. And I'm going to tell you something. Me and my wife and our kids, when we first started going to church on Sunday mornings here about 5 years ago, the devil fought us on Sunday mornings would be complete chaos from 7 to 9 because he didn't want us to go to church. There is a blessing for you. When you come to church, it edifies your pastor. He's got a word for you. He builds you up. Everybody in here is building everybody else up. So we're constantly edifying everybody in here just by showing up and worshiping together. You know, and like I just said before, you know, you won't always want to pray, and that's probably the best time to pray. You will not always be able to control your temper. I know this. This happens to me sometimes, and I really try hard. If I get upset with something, I just try to go over there by myself because I don't want other people to see, you know, me being upset. Because people in the workplace will judge you. You know, they're looking for any reason to doubt your message, especially when you've identified yourself as a Christian. And you know, the word Christian, you know, it means to be Christ-like. You know, I use the word Christ-like. We try and strive to be Christ-like, but sometimes things, you know, just happen. We won't always be able to control our tongue. That can be more difficult for some than others. I mean, you know, especially when we get mad. Okay, we're going to look here at what will happen if you do not get saved. You will not go to heaven when you die. Now, we was just in John 3, and everybody knows John 3:16, how God so loved the world that whosoever believed in him should never perish. But he also says here in verse 18, he that believeth on him not is condemned because he has not believed already because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son. So, going to heaven and hell is really, you know, God, Christ made this easy. Everybody has a chance to go to heaven. Everybody gets at least one chance or has somebody to minister to them to tell them the gospel. And people that hear the gospel and reject it, they're condemned just for simply not believing. And you will go to hell. Jesus warned of hell way more than he ever talked about heaven. You know, and in Luke 16, 24 through 31, we have the story of Lazarus and the rich man, and Jesus called them by name, which I think was very interesting. I don't really think he was telling a parable there because he called them by name, and he told what happened if you don't believe in him. Okay. And you will never have the joy, and this is probably on point three, you will never have the joy of knowing you've been forgiven. Now, we talked about salvation and rebirth here earlier. And what happens to an individual, and it's kind of hard to explain, when we get saved and we get washed in the blood, it is an inward cleansing. But I'm going to tell you something. It's the best feeling in the world. Amen. I mean, there is no drugs or anything that could get you that high. I mean, because you're high on Jesus, you're cleansed, and you know that if something were to happen to you, that you would be standing with the Lord, and you would walk with him forever. Okay, and this is point number four, what you will get when you get saved. We're going to look at 1 Peter 1:4. You get the promise of a home in heaven. Give me just a second, I'll turn there. Here we go. Okay. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Inheritance uncorruptible means it can't be destroyed. No rust or no moth, it's eternal. Undefiled means it cannot get stained by anything. And you cannot get this illegally. Fadeth not means that you will not find this worthless someday. It has great value. Not like some stock or some market that we find great today, you know. That, you know, our home has got a great value in heaven. And one day, you know, when we get there, and it's going to be a wonderful day. I don't even think our minds can really comprehend what heaven's going to be like when we get there. Because the only picture I really got of heaven is just being with Jesus. But, you know, if you read in Revelation, I think 21, it talks about what heaven would look like and how beautiful it will be when we get there. Your name will be written in the book of life when you get saved. That's your reservation. And you're sealed. I think in Ephesians 4:30, God seals you with a promise once you get saved. And in Romans 8:9, the moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit will come into your heart. Amen. I'm going to look at this real quick in Romans. Give me a second as I turn there. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible. Be that you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if you so be in the Spirit of God, dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Right. Now, when I was growing up, I went to some non-denominational churches. And I've had people sit up there at the end of the service, and like, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, come forward. And this troubled me. But, you know, when I learned this in school from Dr. Paul, that at the moment a person gets saved, that inward washing is also an inward indwelling. Because the Spirit of God bores a hole in us. And sometimes we can lose that filling. You know, and I've lost my filling before, and I've gotten it back. And God wants us to be full of the Holy Spirit so he can use us to pour into others. You know, he has us a cup that runneth over. Now, if we had a cup that was halfway full, I'm not going to be able to pour into any of you guys. But if my cup's running over, I can pour. You will have a sweet peace in heaven. This is John 14:27. I'm going to look at that real quick. It says, the peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as of the world giveth, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So God doesn't want us to be afraid. God gives us a peace, and there is a peace. If a person's living right and they're saved, there is a peace that they have. And it's a peace that passeth all understanding. And I talked about this a few minutes ago about having the peace of God and having the peace with God. It runs hand in hand with this scripture here. you will have the power to deal with temptation. It's 1 Corinthians 10:13. Talks about how a person can say that nobody has, it says that all temptation is common to man. So what the Lord's telling us, or what Paul's telling us in this scripture here, that nobody's tempted today any differently than they were 3,000 years ago. We all have temptations. But the Lord always promises us an escape. And I think that sometimes the best escape from sin, Jesus, when he was tempted, he always used scripture to defeat Satan. So we're not really commanded to, you know, go in there and fight the devil. Jesus uses scripture because the devil has to obey. But I think sometimes the best way to get away from temptation is using the Lord's highway and having a good pair of heels and just run from temptation. We're going to look. You will become a new creature in Christ Jesus in 2 Corinthians 5:17. And I like the word creature there, because it could say creation, because you are a new creature and a creation once you get saved. We'll flip to that real quick. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. When he's talking about old things are passed away, he's talking about old relationships with the world. All the old stuff that we used to be. Behold, all things become new. Well, we become a new creature in Christ Jesus. So, when we get born again, we have, you know, something different inside of us, something special, something that, I'm going to be honest with you, all of hell would give, you know, 30 seconds to have a shot at what we have. And I tell people when they're getting persecuted or having a tough time, like, look, I'm going to tell you right now, the victory's already yours because of Christ Jesus. And this took me a while as I grew spiritually, you know. It's become a lot easier telling people about Jesus, because, you know, I'm concerned about that person and their soul. And I don't really worry about backlash, you know, what somebody's going to think. If I'm going to tell you something, I'm going to tell you the truth. But, you know, you have something, every one of us in here that say we have something of tremendous value inside of us. You know, and this world may be falling apart around us with all the chaos that's going on. But, you know, we have Jesus, and we have a promise that we were saved, that in 1 Thessalonians, I think, chapter 1 and 10, that he saved us from the wrath to come. And in Philippians 3:20, we will have a brand new body. 3:20 and 21. And what that means is, because of time, I'm not going to turn there, but I'll try to wrap this up. What that means is that when we die, or if Christ comes back in our lifetime, that this body that we live in now is not perfect, this flesh body. You know, we walk in the spirit, but this flesh body, we're going to have a glorified body like Jesus. So can you imagine not ever having to eat again, or to never get tired, no ailments, don't have to sleep? That's the body that we're promised. I'm going to look at this last scripture here. I got two more real quick before I close. We'll be taken up in the rapture. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, if Christ comes back in our lifetime, there'll be a shout, and we have that assurance, and we have that hope. And for years, I never thought that might not happen in my lifetime. But now, I'm beginning to think, you know, I might. We all could live to see the Lord come back. And we need to be prepared. We need to be telling as many about Jesus as we can. You know, because there's plenty of room in heaven for everybody. Jesus died so that he died for all to be saved. And he paid the price. And last but not least, Luke 16:22. I'm going to look at that in closing. And when it came to pass that the beggar had died, and he was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom, the rich man died and he was buried. So we have a promise here that when we die, our pallbearers will be angels. My aunt died when I was about 10 years old, and my mom was there when she died, and she told me about this, and I've heard another testimony from when my wife's sister passed away. And some of the last words of some of these people is, "I see God." So we have that hope. You know, and in closing, I'm going to say this. The world needs Jesus. Amen. And, you know, he commanded us to be his disciples and to go into all the world and to make disciples and to preach his word. So I'm going to say a prayer here. And if anybody.